Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen. Very powerful testimony. Thank you, Azra, for sharing that with us. Just how God broke that generational curse off of her life, where she knew if it wasn't addressed, if it wasn't dealt with, that it would continue to affect generations to come. And so that is the heart of this message. And so whenever she shared the testimony on Thursday, I said, I have to get this done for Sunday, because it goes right on line with what I'm talking about today. And so this is the heart and the essence of it. I mean, we can really say amen, because that's the message today. I believe in the power of Jesus Christ. I believe that he is able to set us free and to break every stronghold, every generational curse that we've experienced in our lives. I believe he is able to do that. And we're going to believe that for you this morning as well. So we're going to begin our text this morning. We're in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 1 through 9. 2 Kings 21, 1 through 9. And we're going to look at three generations of kings of Judah. And we're going to look at one man named, his name is Manasseh, and you may have heard of him. He was the 14th king who reigned in the land of Judah. Now, if you just as a reminder, whenever Solomon died, that the kingdom of Israel split. And so you had the northern kingdom, which was Israel, and you had the southern kingdom, which was Judah. And from there, you had 14 kings from that point. And what would happen is you always seen in the text is that a father, once he passed on, once he died, that his son would come to the throne. And so Manasseh comes from a lineage of kings. And so he is the 14th king of Judah. And we look at it. And this took place somewhere between 686 and 642 B.C. So that's quite a bit of time ago. That's a long time ago. Many of us, all of us, were not around on the earth at that time. So let's look at it. And you know, let me just say one more thing, too. Manasseh, he came from a God-fearing man. Hezekiah was a God-fearing man. But something went utterly wrong in his life. Let's look at it in verse 1. It says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. Now, we celebrated our young people today. We believe in our young people. And this young man was 12 years old when he began to reign. So we believe that God can use you at whatever age that you are. Amen. So that's just a side note for you guys. We believe in you guys. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hezibah, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the despicable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. So we have this king, and what is said about this king is that he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And this is always a tagline. There's always a description like this that describes the kings. It would always say either one or two things. It would say he did what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord, or he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And here we find that Manasseh, he did not do what was right, but he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, 720 years before Manasseh's time, there was a man named Joshua, and he led the Israelites into the land of Canaan. And the reason God allowed him to conquer all those nations was because of the sin that was there, because of the idolatry, because of the pagan worship, because they were offering up human sacrifices and just despicable things. But yet we find ourselves in, 720 years removed from the conquest of Joshua, and Manasseh, he has brought back the same exact thing. He has brought back pagan worship in Jerusalem, God's chosen place. And so he has introduced to God's people the worship of idols, the worship of false gods, and setting up temples and setting up shrines for all these false gods. and they would worship them instead of worshiping Yahweh, the one true and living God. And so we learn that in other scriptures that God was so displeased with Manasseh that even after he died, God tells Jeremiah the prophet about Manasseh. He says, look, well, this is geared towards Judah, but he says, I will appoint over them four kinds of destroyers. In other words, God tells Jeremiah, look, I had enough. I had enough of the sins of Jerusalem. This is what he says. I will appoint over them four kinds of destroyers, declares the Lord, the sword to kill, the dogs to tear, and the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth because of what Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, did in Jerusalem. Don't tell me that God doesn't take our sins seriously. The man was dead for 15 years whenever God pronounces this to Jeremiah. He says, because of what Manasseh did, because of what he did, he was the leader that I chose. He was the leader to lead the children, to lead Judah. And this is what he did. He went after other gods, false gods, pagan gods. And God says, for it, I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to destroy Jerusalem. You may be thinking, well, what was the extent? What did Manasseh do, to warrant this kind of judgment towards his life and towards Jerusalem? Let's continue reading. It says, for he rebuilt the high places that Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah, and as Ahab the king of Israel had done. And he worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. So he's worshiping the stars and the moon and all the planets and all the things that are, in outer space instead of worshiping the Creator. He says, and he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord has said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. That was a place where they would worship God. There was a place where they would worship Yahweh. They would offer up sacrifices there. They were, the Lord would meet with the priests, and the priests would intercede for the people. That was God's appointed place. And yet, Manasseh, he's just making a mockery, basically, of what God has done. And he's worshiping these idols in the place where God was supposed to be worshiped. It goes on to say, and he built altars for the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he burned his son as an offering. I mean, we're talking human sacrifices. This is despicable behavior. This is unacceptable as a king, as a leader that God has appointed in Judah over his people. This is horrendous. He goes on to say that, and he used fortune-telling and omens and dealt with mediums and necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. In the carved image of Asherah that he had made, he set in the house of which the Lord said to David and Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not cause the feet of Israel to wander anymore out of the land that which I gave to their fathers. If only they will be careful to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. Verse 9 says, but they did not listen. I want you to know that before God brings judgment, he always gives mercy. He gives us chance after chance after chance. Would you just turn from your sins? Would you just deny this lifestyle? And it says that they would not listen. And Manasseh led them astray to do more evil than the nations had done, whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. And so all the sins that were going on, the reason why God allowed the Israelites to destroy those inhabitants of the land of Canaan, it says that Manasseh was doing even worse things than this. Now, I would like to say that the judgment stops right there with Manasseh. I would like to say that it didn't affect any more generations past Manasseh. But if we look, as we continue, we learn that after Manasseh's death, that his son Amon continues in the same path. Let's look at it in verse 18. It says, and Manasseh slept with his fathers, meaning he died, and was buried in the garden of his house in the garden of Uzzah. And Amon, his son, reigned in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. The Lord wasn't allowing him to reign that long anymore if he's going to continue in the evil that his father had done. He only reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haraz of Jotbah. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. He walked in all the ways in which his father walked, and served the idols that his father served, and worshiped them. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Thus the cycle of sin continues over and over and over again. It's a vicious cycle. You know, and perhaps you can relate, you can see evidence of sinful behavior in past generations. Maybe your family has been plagued with drunkenness. Maybe your family has been plagued with abuse. Maybe it's been addiction or whatever it is that runs deep in your family. You know that the sins of your fathers had been passed on from generation to generation to generation and would continue to do so. Notice that Amon did as he seen his father do. That should cut you as a parent this morning, because your kids will not do what you tell them. They will do what they see modeled in their life. Amon seen his father worship false gods. So guess what Amon does? He worships false gods. Amon seen him going to the pagan temples and setting up these idols in the house of the Lord. Guess what Amon does? He does the same thing. What a warning to us as parents that we need to be mindful of how we raise our kids, that our kids are watching us, and they're not necessarily going to become what we tell them, but who we are. And I hope that we would model Christ well and that we would do that well. And so this vicious cycle would continue unless somebody says, you know what, it has to stop with me. It has to stop with me. It can no longer continue to affect my life and my future generations. It has to stop. It's stopping with me. Thankfully, the Lord always has a plan. Amen. The Lord is abundantly merciful and gracious towards us, towards his people. He always has a plan. And what? Praise God. Hallelujah. Even the mic is getting slain in the spirit this morning. And so he has a plan for our life, you know, and whatever the devil meant for evil for you and for your family and generations that were before you, that the Lord can turn it around for the good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen. I believe that. I believe that over you. I believe that over your family. And though it may have been, it will not continue to be. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, we're going to declare that in this place. So there was a man, Amon's son, and somehow, some way, let's just read and see what happens. It says in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 26, and he, Amon, was buried in his tomb, so he dies, the Lord had enough of that, in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah, his son, reigned in his place. Go to chapter 22. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. So don't despise the children, even the younger children, that the Lord can even use young children, amen, to bring about change and radical change, radical Jesus. God can use 8-year-olds. And Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bakatha. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David, his father. And he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Now, I am amazed that an 8-year-old boy can realize that, you know what? My grandfather had it wrong. My dad had it wrong. What they believed in, it was wrong. And that at 8 years old, Josiah says, I want something different. I want the blessings of God on my life. I want to live a life that is blessed beyond measure. I don't want to be cursed like my grandfather. I don't want to be cursed like my father. I want the blessings of the Lord. And thankfully, he had a mother of faith. Thank God for all of our mothers who are mothers of faith. I have a mom who prays for me, and if she didn't pray for me, I would be dead. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. You women have such an influence over your children and those around you that it is believed that his mother is the one who told him about the law of God, taught him about the law of Moses. And so it was from his mother. Even though his father was a wicked man, and even though his grandfather was also a wicked man, there was someone in his life that told him about God. Who is that someone in your life that told you about God? Man, you ought to be thankful for them. Amen? You ought to be thankful for them. So he was 8 years old. And when you look at Josiah's name, I love this, because what it means is whom Jehovah heals. Whom Jehovah heals. In other words, that stigma that came with your grandfather and that stigma that came with your father, guess what? No longer has to be your stigma, because the Lord heals you. He heals your story. He heals your identity. He makes you a new person in Christ Jesus our Lord. That no longer applies to you, because he is Jehovah who heals. He heals our past. He heals our brokenness. He heals all that we are. Amen. So we don't have to carry that guilt and that shame anymore. Thank you, Jesus. So what has been must not continue to be. And so what Josiah begins to do, he begins to undo everything that his grandfather did. He said, well, you're going to set up pagan temples? I'm going to tear them all down. And he begins to eliminate idolatry. He begins to remove all the pagan objects out of the temples. He begins to remove even the pagan priests who were serving on these altars. He removes them and he puts in the priest of the Lord. He says, we're gonna bring back the Lord in this temple. We're going to bring God, our Yahweh, back into this temple. We're going to get rid of paganism. We're going to get rid of sin. So he begins to destroy all these things. He even grabs the bones of some of the pagan priests that have died, and he burns them on the altar, on the pagan altar. It was already defiled, so he's going to, burn their bones too. And then he begins to destroy it all. We're cleaning house. We're taking it all out. We are God's people. We don't want the curse anymore, because we are a blessed people. If we want to live the blessed life, as the series suggests, then we got to get rid of the curses. Amen? We got to get rid of the curses. We got to get rid of those things that have been passed on to us from generation to generation to generation. Maybe it was something like racism. You've seen it modeled in your grandfather, your father, whatever it may be. And now you're having to deal with this. Maybe it's, pornography, lust. They dealt with it. He dealt with it. You dealt with it. We've all have things. But today is the day where we rise up like Josiah and we say, no more. No more. No more. Thank you, Jesus. So we have a great urgency, a great responsibility to not only us, but future generations, those that are coming up after us. We have this tremendous urgency and responsibility to renounce these things off of our lives. To renounce drunkenness, to renounce addiction, chronic lying, to renounce laziness, to renounce abuse, to renounce unfaithfulness. Perhaps that's all you've seen in your life is your parent going from relationship to relationship to relationship, only to be broken, broken, broken. And then now these patterns are continuing in your life. Today is the day where we say no, no more. And as Azra shared in her testimony, if we allow these things to continue, it will cripple us from fulfilling the very thing that God has called you to do. You won't be able to love others the way you're supposed to love if you're still bound with all this junk on the inside. You might not be able to love your spouse the way that you're supposed to love your spouse because you have some deep-rooted hurt that has been passed on and passed on and passed on. First thing we're going to do to get rid of this, to break this generational curse, is we're going to identify it. We're going to look, and we're going to be able to identify what is the problem, what has been passed on, what is the junk in my life that I've got from somebody else that I just need to get rid of today. Perhaps you're facing the same relational difficulties as your parents did. You're facing the same financial mess that they faced. You know, you're dealing with the same unhealthy patterns in your life that they had. You find yourself in the same unhealthy lifestyle as they did. You have the same filthy mouth as they have. We're stuck in a rut. You got to be able to identify it. You got to be able to say, I see that, and that doesn't look like God. I see that, and that doesn't look like what Christ calls me to. And so from this day forward, I renounce that thing off of my life. And there have been several things I had to renounce off of my life that I've seen in my family. And I said, this is not of God. This is not of God. This is not what the Bible teaches me about loving my neighbor. This is not of God. The Bible is the final authority in our lives. The Bible is the thing that we go to, that we look ourselves in the mirror and say, do I align with that word? Do I align with that? Do I look like that? If not, why? We've got to be able to identify what it is. Next, we're going to repent. And we're going to forgive. You know, if a generational sin has been passed on, that sin is now your sin. And you have to take ownership of it. You can't just say, oh, well, my parents did this to me. My parents this, my parents that, my uncle this, my aunt that. If that sin has now become your sin, then you need to take ownership for your sin. And your sin offends a perfect and holy and righteous God. Your sin, you must take ownership for your sin. You must say, God, I messed up. I allow this into my life. I am not living in accordance to your word. God, forgive me of my sin. And we must be willing to admit our sin and take ownership for our sin. Yes, they may have done that to you. And yes, it may have affected your life. But if it's sin in your life, it's a generational sin, first thing that we must do is repent of it and ask God to forgive us. You know, it is the power of the cross that we have forgiveness of our sins. It is the power of the cross that generational curses are broken off of our life. Amen? It is the power of what Jesus did, the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of us, and that's a tremendous amount of power. And that power has effectively can break every generational curse that has been passed down onto you. A couple of scriptures regarding that. Revelations 1:5 says, to him who loves us, I want you to know that God loves you today. He loves you so much. That's why he put it upon my heart to speak this message. He loves you. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. The blood of Jesus. We talked about it earlier in communion. It is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all of our sins. Makes us whole, makes us have that right relationship with the Lord. Romans 6:5-11 says, for if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Can I get a hallelujah? If you have died with Christ, you are free from sin. That sin is no longer accounted to you anymore. Whenever God looks at you, he sees Jesus. Whenever God looks at you, he sees grace. He sees mercy. That sin is no longer your stigma anymore. And we're going to believe that today, that those who have died with Christ, we know that we will live with him. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. In other words, that curse that has been given to you, that curse that has been passed on from generation to generation, is broken by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. He redeems you from the curse. It says in Galatians 5:1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." One more, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no more. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new." That's the work that God has done in your life. He doesn't just make you a little bit better. A little better version of yourself. He doesn't do that. He makes you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your old man has died, and behold, a new man has come alive. So, in the process of repentance and forgiveness, we're going to renounce any curse that we may have dealt with. And we're going to have an opportunity to do this at the end of service. We're going to renounce those things. We're going to take ownership. We're going to renounce it. And we're going to speak God's word. We're going to talk more about speaking God's word next week. But, and this is all dealing with generational sin. But we also know there are things that prevent us from fulfilling the destiny that God has for us because of what other people have done to us. This Azra story is a perfect example. She did no wrong in that particular instance. It was not her fault. It was someone who devalued her, who was not a good representation of God, was not a good representation of our Heavenly Father, did something to her. The message for those who have stuff done to them is to forgive. Forgive. You may be saying, "God, there's no way." God, do you know what they did? He does. And whenever Jesus was hanging on the cross, after they had beaten him, after they mocked him, after he was brutally just beaten to a pulp beyond recognition, he looks at those who had just finished whipping him and beating him. He's covered in blood. He looks at them. He says, "Father, forgive them." You have to. You must. It is an order to forgive those who have abused you. And my third and final point is we're going to walk by the Spirit of God. The way that you're able to forgive is not by your own power. You can't do it on your own. The way that you're going to do this is through the power of God living on the inside of you. Through the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are contrary to the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are contrary to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." And so we're going to actively pursue God. We're going to actively do something in our life. We're going to actively, if it's been a generational sin and you realize that there's something in my life that I've picked up from my parents that does not align with the Bible, that our first order is to repent from that. Say, "God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Forgive me for hatred. Forgive me for drunkenness. forgive me for abuse, whether it's verbally. You might be verbally abusing people around you because that's what you've seen modeled in your life. Just like Amon. He's just doing what he's seen modeled. We have a better model. We have a better model. His name is Jesus. Amen. We have a better King. We have a better Lord. We have a better Father. And He loves you with an unconditional love. He loves you so much. And He wants to make you whole this morning. He wants to heal all the brokenness of your life. He wants to take those generational curses and say from this day forward, it is no more. What has been will not continue to be anymore in my life. Amen. We're going to ask that you would stand to your feet at this time. Every single one of us. I'm sure there's something that has come to your mind as we're going through this. And that you know that there are sins of your fathers that have been passed on, but you have seen modeled, you picked up subconsciously. And now in my first marriage, it didn't work because of me. It didn't work because of me because I was verbally abusive. It didn't work because I had things in my life. I was a wreck. I only did what I seen modeled. It was wrong. It didn't work. But I changed. I said, from this day forward, I will no longer be verbally abusive with my mouth. I will no longer tear down others and try to make a more conscious effort of it. I will not be plagued by drunkenness as I seen modeled in my life. I will not. Not me. Not my house. Not my family. Not my kids. I will not be plagued by it anymore. No, it stops today. I will not be plagued by abuse. I will not. It stops today. I renounce abuse. I will not be plagued by laziness. I will not be plagued by anything that does not look like God. It will not take place in my life. It will not hinder my kids. It will not hinder their lives. It will not hinder my grandkids. It will not hinder those around me. Because I am a new creation in Christ Jesus my Lord. And today I renounce those things in my life. And so I'm just going to name a few of them. And if I don't name your thing, that's okay. I want you to renounce that thing. And so as I name it, if that applies to you, I want you to renounce that in the name of Jesus and say, it does not affect me anymore. I renounce drunkenness off of my life in the name of Jesus. I break its hold. It will not affect me and it will not affect my family anymore. I renounce it in Jesus' name. I renounce addiction of all sorts, of all kinds, whether it's sexual, whether it's a drug addiction, whatever it is, I renounce that addiction in Jesus' mighty name. I renounce chronic lying, not telling the truth. I renounce that off of my life. I will be a person who tells the truth in all things. I renounce that. I renounce laziness off of my life. I will be a person who works hard, who does and is faithful and is a good steward over what God has given me. I renounce laziness off of my life. I renounce abuse of any kind, whether it's verbal, whether it's physical, whether it's sexual. I renounce that off of my life and future generations. We renounce that when we break its hold. We renounce unfaithfulness. This is a big one. If you've seen this modeled in your life and you see these same tendencies in your life to have unfaithful relationships, I renounce that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. It's broken off of my life and it's broken off of my family for future generations. I renounce sexual immorality right now in the name of Jesus. I renounce racism. In the name of Jesus, I renounce prejudice. In the name of Jesus, I renounce these things. They will not affect my life and my family ever.
Jesus.
You have to go in the mighty name of Jesus. Then there are other things. Things that we hold on to because we've been hurt. There's bitterness. There's unforgiveness. There's hatred. All these things, we're going to renounce these as well in the name of Jesus. So right now, we just renounce unforgiveness in our lives in Jesus' name. We choose from this day forward to forgive those who have hurt us, those who have abused us, those who have misused us, those who have not shown the Father's love towards us, from those we loved and trusted. We renounce any ounce of bitterness. We renounce any ounce of unforgiveness from our lives in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, you, just as Josiah not only took things out, he began to reestablish the Passover. He brought good things in.
Yes.
He brought things in that would lead to the blessed life, serving God and living for Him. So, Lord, right now, we receive your Spirit to fill those places, oh God, that have been so hurtful in our lives. Come and fill us, Lord, today with the power of your Holy Spirit, the power to overcome, the power to be a witness, the power to live for you. Fill our lives this morning in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you. And Lord, we say what has been will not continue to be anymore. We love you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Let's sing this verse together as a church.
Power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power. Wreck every shame, 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 wreck every shame. There's power. There's power. There is power in the name of Jesus. Wreck every shame, wreck every shame, wreck every shame. Wreck every shame, wreck every shame, wreck every shame. There is power, power, power in His name. There is power, power, power in His name. Power. Shame, wreck every shame, to wreck every shame. Wreck every shame, wreck every shame, wreck every shame. Wreck every shame, wreck every shame, wreck every shame. Let us bow the blood in the blood of Jesus. Let us bow in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Just bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to just end in a time of prayer. But I did want to say to those of you that that trauma and that generational curse came to you and it wasn't your fault. I have so many people and students that I've worked with over the years, and absolutely believe to forgive because Jesus forgave us. But here's some things I would also say, like Azra said in her video, to set up those boundaries. Just because you forgive doesn't mean that you're a doormat to let that happen to you over and over and over again. You have to stand up like Josiah did and say, okay, not on my watch. You are valued and you are precious no matter whom you are, what has happened to you, and you have to stand on that. And that means that we don't allow those things to continue on in our lives. If that's you this morning and it's deep, maybe your addiction is deep or that trauma is deep, I highly encourage you. We know that Jesus breaks chains, but this is going to be a process. And maybe you need to just come in and walk in this week and ask for us, one of us, to counsel you. I'm not the best, but I know Jesus, and I know some steps and some tools. Even this week, we're going to post on social media some, if you have a deep addiction and you need really help, and we just have two places here in the room this morning, Women's Restoration and Men's Restoration, just healing from addiction. I think everybody should go through it. That's just my personal opinion. But I just believe that there are things that when you give up 9 months of your life or a year of your life and get healed, that God will begin to do a work. And sometimes we like to say, well, I'll just break the chain, but then you go out and you do the same thing. If that's you this morning and you know that about yourself, have enough courage to be honest with yourself. Identify, that first point was identify the repetitive life patterns. Be honest and say, okay, Lord, I want this healed. Like, I want this healed out of my life. I don't want to just have this 2 weeks from now and a month from now. I want this made whole. And that we serve a God who makes things whole in our lives. So I just wanted to encourage you with that. Maybe you just need Christian counseling. We're going to post on media some places. Or maybe it's real and you need to go to Women's Restoration, Place of Restoration. Man, do that for your family, for generations coming behind you, and say, I want that chain not just broken for one moment. I want to live a lifestyle of freedom. And so we want to encourage you with those things. And for those of you that have been through traumas, and there's like this fresh wound this morning because it's like picked on, right? Like, God wants to heal that. And maybe you need to just talk to somebody. Maybe you've never talked to anybody about what's happened to you because it was happened in the dark or in the secret. I just want to say that you're welcome. And if you're like, not here, then we can encourage you in the right direction because there's healing through Jesus.